The first reading is on page 976 of the Church Bibles. It's Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 11. Therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in flesh by the hand, by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 9 and reading through to verse 20. Luke 2, 9 to 20. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray before we begin. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the wonder of this season. Please forgive us that so often it washes over us. It comes and goes and leaves us, so it seems, none the wiser. Father, will you graciously speak to us now, as you spoke to those shepherds outside Bethlehem, and bring us right in to a knowledge and experience of peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. for his name's sake. Amen. Well, a very good morning indeed to all of you here and to any who may be watching us on the live stream. You may know that we are in the middle of a short series leading up to Christmas, a series looking at four great songs, songs that occur in the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel, and songs which lead up to and follow directly on from the birth of Jesus, and songs which proclaim and celebrate the meaning of that birth, something that we very much need to look at afresh, in case in all the celebrations it passes us by. Today's song is the shortest and possibly the most well-known. Certainly, it's one that we will be singing ourselves over the next couple of weeks in well-known carols and songs at our Christmas services. But it's a song that was preceded by an extraordinary event. It did take place in the fields around the little town of Bethlehem, and it began like this. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So that same night, that very night that Jesus himself was born, as usual, there were shepherds out in the fields doing their job. They were there to guard the flocks of sheep. They probably were not the owners of the sheep. Those would have been the wealthy merchants tucked up safe in their beds in Bethlehem. No, these would have been hired hands, hired to keep the sheep safe, to ward off prowling wild beasts and any robbers who may be about, and also to rescue the sheep, to go and look for them when they went astray, and to rescue them from the rocky countryside, the ravines and the cliffs around. It was a very difficult and dangerous job. We sometimes have a rather romantic picture of a shepherd's life, but it wasn't at all romantic. And it was rather despised, in fact, as an occupation. You only did that if there was nothing else you really could do. You had to be desperate to do a job like that. Shepherds, on the whole, were not at all respected. So what happens next is a double shock, both to them and to us. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. A glorious messenger from God appeared, and the darkness suddenly blazed with dazzling light. No wonder the shepherds were terrified. I don't know whether anybody here has ever seen an angel. I doubt it. I very much doubt it. Even in Bible times, the appearance of angels was a rare event when God had some particular thing he wanted to reveal. And when, on the rare occasions in the Bible, an angel does appear, the response of those to whom he appears is always the same. They're always terrified, scared out of their wits, struck dumb with terror. And the reason for that is that angels were not just messengers, they were also, often, they came as warriors. Sometimes they came armed. And so it's not surprising that the shepherds reacted as anyone else would, as you would have reacted and as I would have, with sheer terror. But the question really is, why would an angel appear to the shepherds at all? What could he possibly have to say to them that could be relevant to them? Well, that question is quickly answered. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So just in case you shepherds think this is not for the likes of us, think again. This is a message for you of good news and great joy. Now, To be honest, there wasn't a lot of good news or great joy in the life of the average shepherd. They kept themselves alive for as long as they could doing this horrible job, and when they couldn't do it any longer, they died. That was it. As someone said in another context, their lives were nasty, brutish, and short. So how could an angel have good news for these shepherds? Well, said the angel, it's particularly good news for you. You need a saviour. You know you do. You need someone to rescue from this awful existence you're trapped in. I'm telling you, he's come. I'm telling you, he's here. He's arrived. He's nearby. Well, what wonderful news for them. And what wonderful news for anyone who knows they need rescuing. If any of us here this morning feel we're in a desperate strait, great news, my friend. The Saviour has been born. And we'll hear more about that in just a moment. But it could be that there are some of us who are having quite a nice life. It could be that there are some of us here who don't really think we need rescuing. Well, to you, the angel would say, think again. You really, really do. It may be smoothed over by the circumstances that you find yourself in. It may be that outwardly your life is really rather pleasant. Don't let that fool you. You need this news too. You need it very much indeed. The angel went on to explain what that news was in very familiar words. For unto you, remember who he's talking to, unto you, poor shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. So the angel brings breaking news from Bethlehem. You see that, don't you, sometimes on the news channels. Breaking news. Well, this is breaking news. This couldn't be newer news. The Saviour has been born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Actually, it's a small town. But it's the place where the great King David was born and brought up. Of course, he wasn't a king in his youth. But he did become the rescuer of Israel. He became the rescuer of his people, starting with Goliath, but going on to win battle after battle after battle to rescue his people from their foes. And so he was anointed king, crowned king, anointed, where we get our word Messiah, or in Greek, Christ. And so if David himself, 1,000 years before, had been a rescuer, an anointed saviour of his people, Israel, the angels now say, but someone greater has come, my friends. A greater king, a greater rescuer. The saviour to end all saviours. The saviour, Jesus Christ. The Lord, not just King of Israel, but Lord, Lord of all. He came not just for the people of Israel, but for all the nations. That's why we had that well-known reading from Ephesians. All are on a level playing field in his sight. He is their Lord and could be their Saviour too. Now for Israel, the people of Israel, his arrival was not unexpected. Not if they knew their Bibles, not if they knew their scriptures. Because all through their history, they had been subject to oppression and hostility, often their own fault, we may say, but always meaning they needed to be rescued. And they had the prophets to tell them that a rescuer would come. He was on his way. But they wanted a rescuer on their terms. They wanted another King David. Actually, a bit better than David, because David messed up in various ways. But they wanted a mighty king. They didn't want to do much about it themselves, particularly not mend their ways. But they wanted someone anyway who'd come and rescue them. especially when things got really, really, really bad. And this would be a mighty, mighty king, a greater descendant of King David, so obviously the baby would be born in a palace. Stands to reason, going to be a king. He would probably be wrapped in silk from the moment of his birth, and he would be laid in a gold or silver cradle on cushions of velvet, and he'd have servants and attendants right from the moment he was born. The angel went on. And this will be a sign for you, you shepherds and those who know they need rescuing. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. What? Wrapped in rags? Born in a stable? Laid in a cattle feeding trough? Yes. That's where the Saviour was born. This was not what people were expecting, to put it mildly. And that explains why, as Jesus grew up, people really were mystified about him. On the one hand, he did and said amazing things, sounded like a Saviour, looked like a Saviour, but he didn't live like a Saviour. He wandered around. He didn't have a royal retinue. He had no mighty palaces to go to. He certainly didn't look like someone who was going to kick out the Romans by military might. And as time went on, people became more and more disenchanted with him. And indeed, rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. They wanted a royal conqueror to set Israel free. They did not want a humble carpenter from Nazareth who came to seek and to save his own lost sheep. And I think as we approach Christmas, it's a great time, isn't it? But it is a danger for us that we have our own expectations. It's a season filled with glitter and lights and festivities. And we forget there were no lights in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. There were no decorations in the stable in Bethlehem. There were no expensive gifts exchanged that day. There were no lavish Christmas drinks or dinners. Now, it's fine to celebrate Christmas, of course. I'll enjoy it as much as anybody else. But then, will I be prepared to humble myself as he did? Will I let God rescue me on his own terms rather than on my terms? However much others fail to understand, however hostile even our nearest and dearest may be. Well, now we come to the song of the heavenly host. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Well, if one angel terrified the shepherds, imagine a whole army of angels. That's what the word host means. All heaven's armies assembled to praise God and celebrate this great event of the birth of the rescuer in Bethlehem. They're very familiar words. We sing them in carols, we know them by heart, but we miss the amazement that we should feel at this moment. Glory to God in the highest. Of course, the birth of Jesus Christ brought glory to God. Whatever it looked like, whatever people thought, this was God's plan, this was God's doing, and all the glory was his, is his, and will be his forever. Because, of course, all glory belongs to him. When we say and when we sing, we give him all the glory. We're not giving him anything that he hasn't already got. We're just saying, we know all the glory is yours. It always has been and it always will be. God is high and far above anything we can possibly imagine. Glory to God in the highest. And yet, the heavenly host also proclaimed peace upon earth. And we should be astonished at the contrast between those two things. Of course, all glory to God, because he is utterly holy, utterly pure, utterly righteous, utterly good. And we are not. So far from giving God the glory that is his due, we want the glory for ourselves. And look at what that does to the world we live in. So damaged, so rebellious, so full of conflict. How can there possibly be peace between God in the highest and people on earth? Well, that is exactly why Jesus was born. He brought the two together. He brought heaven and earth together. God and man in one small child. And so in his very self, in who he was, he reconciled humanity to God. He showed there could be peace between us. And it was peace that he had to die to bring about. And that's the challenge to us this Christmas time, and that was the great news for these shepherds, that there can be peace with God. We can have peace with him. And the question is, have we? Have we found that peace that God offered us by the birth of his son in Bethlehem? It's not tranquility. It's not a kind of serene, calm existence. Quite the opposite, in fact. Jesus said to his followers, you remember, in this world you will have trouble. Not you may, you will. But what it is peace with God that nothing can break, that nothing can take away or shake. The great St. Augustine once said something like this: our hearts are restless till they find their rest in God. And that's what brings glory to God, of course, because it's all his doing. We can't do that, but he has offered us that in the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the great gift on offer at Christmas. And then and only then can we say, as the angels said, that he is pleased with us. We cannot please him of ourselves. We only can please him through the peace that Jesus Christ came to bring with him. The peace that comes through faith, as it did for these shepherds. And let's, as we finish, just look at what happened next. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. So clearly these poor shepherds believed the message of the angels. And off they went to find what the angels had promised. They knew it was a message from God. They knew they needed that rescue. And off they went to find the rescuer. And when they found him, they just told everybody else they'd found him. It's quite simple, isn't it? That's the sign. That's the sign that we have peace with God, that we know how much our friends and relations need that too. And we'll simply tell them, have a very happy Christmas.